Seth Grossman, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
If you have time for just a quick pitch, 45 seconds on somebody's front porch, what do you tell them about why you should go to Congress?
I should go to Congress to support President Trump and to enforce our immigration laws and to reduce legal immigration to sustainable levels. That was the key promise, the key message of my campaign, and it resonated with the Republican voters. I think it will resonate with all voters.
You've made some news lately as a recording of a Republican debate emerged with some comments that you made, and the ones that got a lot of attention were, you said in part, the whole idea of diversity is a bunch of crap and un-American. You really mean that?
Yes. That was an ambush question, but when you talk about diversity, what do you mean by diversity? Diversity, of course I love diversity. I like to go to Chinese restaurants, Italian restaurants, Mexican restaurants, Vietnamese. I grew up in Atlantic City, probably the most multiracial, multicultural, multisexual preference city in America, even back in the 1950s when I was growing up. But now diversity has taken on a new political meaning, meaning that if you have an organization, if you have a school, unless you have the proper balance of this racial group, this ethnic group, this sexual preference, it's bad. And that diversity for the sake of diversity is a virtue. And I think that's ridiculous. I didn't want to use the word a bunch of crap, but it is a bunch of crap. And it is un-American. See, in America, we should hire people, promote people, reward people based on their talent, their character, their work, their achievement. Not just because they happen to be a member of a certain group or could check off a certain diversity box or get double credit for checking off two or three diversity boxes to get promoted.
Okay. You know, in that same debate, you referred to the founders of our country saying that they believed that the country was founded on the principle that we're all equal. Obviously, that was not the practice back then. There was 100 years of slavery. And then for many decades after that, there were obviously was terrible discrimination in housing and employment. Even into this century, there was redlining. There were separate and unequal school systems. And that clearly gave certain classes of people a lack of opportunity. Is it unreasonable that those who were disadvantaged unfairly, based on prejudice, that some effort should be made to make up for that lack of opportunity?
That has been so exaggerated. We keep forgetting that Abraham Lincoln himself, every speech he made was referred to the Declaration of Independence, which, of course, was declared right around the corner from where we are sitting today. And he pointed out the contradiction that our nation was founded on the idea that we're all created equal, endowed with certain unalienable rights. And when he made his every speech he made, including the one at Gettysburg, he said we would have a new birth of freedom in 1863, where we would make America conform to to the ideals that created us. And one of the fascinating things in Atlantic City, and I'm very, very Atlantic City oriented, we have a guy called Ralph Hunter set up a African-American museum of South Jersey who pointed out that African-Americans had something called the Great Migration, where millions of them moved out of the Democratic South up to the Republican North, including towns like Atlantic City, where there was a thriving. They called Atlantic City, blacks called Atlantic City the new promised land. There are books written about it. And if you go to that museum, you'll see that blacks achieved equality, not only more than equality, political power, economic success.
Okay, but you wouldn't argue that blacks had full equal opportunity in housing and employment even in the North throughout the 20th century. Would you mean, what about the redlining and discrimination and
employment? Well, I mean,
the armed forces weren't even integrated until the redlining again.
In other words, I believe that if someone's going to get a loan, whether they get a loan or not should be based on whether they're going to pay it back, not by what ethnic group they're in. And what you had is you had many, I guess, people, applicants, who were rejected for loans because they couldn't pay them back. And then the government said, oh, no, you got to give them loans anyway. And what do we get? We got the housing boom, the housing bubble, and the economic collapse of 2007-2008.
So you feel like opportunities are fair and colorblind throughout the country pretty much.
That's how it should be. And one of the ironies of it, at that very debate that you're talking about in Salem County, there was actually one black guy there who heard me make those remarks. And at the end of the debate, he signed up to be a volunteer in my campaign. So the only black guy there was the one who was not only not offended, but he, and most of the African-Americans I speak to about this say that diversity and affirmative action is another word for excuse. Excuse for failure, excuse for not getting training, excuse for no discipline. And that is what is killing the African-American community, the idea that you can succeed without work, without achievement, just because you could say, well, my great-granddaddy was treated unfairly, and I do not believe in that at all.
Sounds like you're calling people lazy.
I'm calling people the American dream of liberty means you have the opportunity to succeed, but to have true liberty and prosperity, the motto of New Jersey, that means the freedom to fail as well. And as long as we reward failure and punish success, we're going to get more failure and less success. To me, it's common sense.
You also said that, you know, people shouldn't be just checking off boxes, for example, when picking candidates for office. And you said Kim Guadagno, the Republican candidate for governor, was a bad choice. You said she was chosen just because she was a woman.
No, well, she was chosen for two bad reasons. She was the worst unelectable candidate Republicans could have possibly picked because she was joined at the hip to Governor Chris Christie, the most unpopular governor in New Jersey history. But the reason was, well, she's entitled, she's next in line, and also, she's a woman, and voters will appreciate our inclusiveness and diversity. And I joked at the end, I said, well, see how that happened. See how that turned out.
So you're not saying she just got there because she's a woman?
No, two bad reasons. It's her turn, and, you know, we got to show our inclusiveness when I think Jack Cetarelli actually could have beaten Phil Murphy and changed the whole direction of New Jersey.
Why do you support the president's immigration policy?
We have laws. In other words, there's a difference between immigration and invasion. Now, for 45 years, from 1920 to 1965, we had sustainable immigration in this country. We limited most immigration most years to 300,000 per year. And that is really as much as you can admit to a country while still having unemployment, while still having full employment, without depressing wages, without having this this balkanization of chopping people up into people who can't even understand each other because they can't speak English. As a kid, I remember we loved immigrants. We embraced immigrants because, immigrants within a year or two, they were speaking English. They were more American than the rest of us. In fact, in the fourth grade, one of my closest friends, Lorenzo, came from Italy, not speaking any English. We had two non-English speakers in the class. Within 6 months, they were speaking full English because we had 28 kids teaching two immigrants how to speak English. Now, when you have 17, 18 immigrants in a class of 28, the students can't even speak to each other, let alone learn English. And that's not sustainable. You can't have a country continue like that.
What about the president's statements that he wants to limit immigration from Muslim countries? It was a statement he made during the campaign.
Well, we do have problems with terrorism. And, how many Hitler Youth immigrants did we admit to the United States during World War II? How many Japanese immigrants did we admit during World War II? When you're having a war, you don't bring your enemy into your country. And at the time, we had terrorists who were killing Americans, and they said they were killing Americans because they were following their religion. So until we sort out which Islam permits this and which Islam does not permit this, I think all the president was saying is, let's stop the immigration until we sort things out and see what's going on. And I don't think we really sorted things out to see what's going on. You know, when I go for a walk in the park, I don't want to look behind me and see if some truck, is going to run me and my kids down and my grandchildren down because somebody feels they're serving their religion.
And although, most of the terrorist incidents in the United States have come from folks that were citizens here, right?
We could say, but the point is, citizens and some citizens because they were the children of immigrants from countries who think that America is Americans are evil. So we have to, again, we have to sort it out. I don't know all the answers, but what I'm saying is when you're in a hole, the first thing you do is you stop digging. I think that's all that Donald Trump was trying to say.
A lot of controversy lately about a policy of separating parents from kids at the border, including people who present themselves requesting asylum. They haven't crossed illegally. They've taken advantage of the law that says, I need asylum from my country.
Right, because they have been briefed by the Democrat lawyers on the other side as to everything you have to say to get asylum. But let's face it, there's nobody it's interesting because most of those immigrants are from Central American countries saying, I fear for my life in my home country of, in Nicaragua. I don't know what all the Central American countries are, but they get to Mexico. They walk safely for, 700 miles in Mexico? So how could they say, I fear for my life in Mexico if Mexico let you walk safely for 700 miles to get to the American border? So it's all fake. It's all phony. And let's face it, they are breaking the law by entering this country illegally. And if guess what? If you rob a bank, if you break into a store, you're arrested, you're separated from your family. They're the consequences of breaking the law.
Right, but if you present yourself for asylum, that's not the same thing as crossing illegally. You're presenting yourself saying, I am seeking asylum, and there's a procedure that's supposed to be followed.
Yeah. Well, I think that a procedure has been abused. I think the Democrats want more Democrat voters dependent on government, dependent on the Democratic Party. And this is all – let's face it. If those – all the illegal immigrants voted Republican – I guarantee a Nancy Pelosi would have them thrown out within 48 hours. It's all – they're undocumented Democrats. That's what it all comes down to. It's all about political power.
Polls show that a lot of voters are concerned about health care in this election. What should be done to provide people affordable health care?
When you talk about make America great again, I grew up in the 50s where we had affordable health care because insurance was based on real insurance. In other words, when you buy car insurance, when you buy fire insurance – you expect that you're never going to collect, right? Because there's only a small chance you will have that risk. With health insurance, people buy, quote, insurance, unquote, because they expect it to pay for day-to-day expenses. It's almost like, think of how expensive car insurance would be if car insurance covered oil changes, tires, and windshield wiper blades. If car insurance covered those things, it would be enormously expensive. People wouldn't care about the cost. You see, I watch daytime TV. How much TV commercials are telling you to buy expensive drugs that someone else is going to pay for? So we've got to get back to the idea that insurance covers major medical, but the out-of-pocket sore throat, you know, sprained ankle, you pay out-of-pocket. My dad was a dentist. I grew up with the doctor friends, and you know, everybody could afford the doctor. Everybody could afford insurance. Healthcare did not get unaffordable until the government stepped in to make it affordable. That's one of the ironies of it.
Well, I mean, under private insurance policies before the Affordable Care Act, if you had diabetes, if you had a serious condition, you could be refused coverage.
Yeah. And if you want to buy a fire insurance policy and you want to buy it after your house catches fire and the fire engine runs away and say, I'd like to buy a fire insurance policy, it's a little bit late. Insurance is what you buy at the beginning, and you pay, again, expecting that you won't collect. So what we have done, we've completely distorted the market. And by the way, the system wasn't broken that we had. It was broken for maybe 15 or 20 million people. We messed up the whole system for the whole country, and we still have about 15, 20 million people uninsured. So I think we have to go back and see what worked and follow what worked instead of trying to reinvent the wheel all the time, which is really about buying votes, in my opinion.
You'd take away the mandate for insurance.
Absolutely.
And the guarantee that you get coverage despite pre-existing conditions.
There's got to be consequences. In other words, when you make bad decisions, if you say, well, I'm a healthy young fella, I don't need insurance, and you don't buy insurance when it's cheap when you're young, and then, you know, 30 years later, you get diagnosed with something, say, okay, I want to buy insurance. We've got to make Americans again.
So what happens when somebody doesn't have insurance? They've made that bad choice.
We never did. My dad was a dentist. I remember the times people couldn't afford to pay him. We took tomatoes. We took fish. We took clams. In other words, when it's not everybody gaming the system, when people are genuinely in need, Americans always took care of them. We always had charity. We had volunteer work. And I guarantee you, Americans always had the finest care in the world. And it was only when the government stepped in and said, you're entitled to this, you're entitled to that, suddenly people, you know, go to the emergency room when they have a sore throat instead of, waiting a couple of days to go to a doctor. We abuse the system, and that's what we have. Everybody wants something paid for by something else. We've got to really make America great again by going to individual responsibility.
You know, congressional elections are local elections. It's going to be you against Senator Van Drew. They're also national elections. People are going to be thinking about Republicans, Democrats, who controls Congress, where President Trump is. What's this race going to come down to, in your opinion?
In my opinion, this is going to be a national election. And already I could see that right now my name is like on the front page of the Washington Post. Of course, I'm not happy. They said I think I'm the most likely Republican to lose to a Democrat in a district flipping from one to the other. But everybody knows that if the Democrats get control of Congress, they're going to impeach President Trump on fake political grounds, nothing to do with the Constitution, and they're going to stop his agenda. It's going to be open borders, amnesty for 20 million people, more taxes, more borrowing, more debt, eliminate Second Amendment rights. It's going to fundamentally transform America. So there's a lot at stake. I'm not familiar with the national thing. I believe there are about 25 seats that make the difference between Republican control and Democrat control. And this district of South Jersey is one of those districts.
Seth Grossman, thanks for speaking with us on NewsWorks tonight.
And thank you.